It's 2 o'clock and time for your appointment with the Reluctant Therapist. What's on your mind today, Elizabeth?
Oh, hello, Donna. It's nice to see you. My mind is processing the fact that someone that I care for deeply is packing his bags and moving away from San Luis Obispo. And so I invited him in to justify the reason why he's packing up and leaving. And also to just kind of celebrate who he is and what he's shared with us as a singer, songwriter, musician. And so that's kind of where my mind is. You know, I'm not someone who shies away from change or is, you know, shies away from different experiences. I think they're fabulous. I think it's part of our whole human experiences to be a little uncomfortable at all times. You know, that dissonance that we feel when we're kind of caught between two things, staying comfortable but being pulled to something else, and that just kind of anxiety or that dissonance, they call it, of, oh, I don't know if I can make that leap, but I can't stay where I am because it's not quite serving me anymore, but I don't know where this is going to take me. You know, that space between two stable lives is really fascinating to me, because that's when we're really feeling the life force inside of us, that thrive experience of catching your breath, feeling a little awe, you know, leaping forward and kind of that free falling. That really is what life's about. And unfortunately, we've spent a lot of time, especially the last few decades, through the mental health industry, trying to convince people that it was better to feel no things or to stay safe or to feel wrapped in security than it is to live with those feelings of anxious anticipation or uncertainty. And that's unfortunate, because it's really a disservice to people, especially to young people, because they're built for continued uncertainty, because all they are is growing and changing and growing and changing as they move through adolescence into young adulthood. And to capture them right at the point where they're supposed to be blossoming and pushing forward and say to them, ooh, all those uncomfortable feelings can be tamped down or should be tamped down, or you shouldn't have to feel this way, restricts their growth. It constricts their growth. And we're seeing that in so many aspects of society, you know, with young people from 13 to 30 and probably beyond, but really that central age group, the Gen Zs we call them, have really been hindered by this cultural narrative, this mental health narrative, that they're fragile and that uncomfortable feelings don't have to be tolerated. Or if you do have them, immerse yourself in things that distract you. You know, here's an app for that. Here's a video game for that. Here's a med for that. You know, a lot of numbing goes on over and over and over again. And I see that in my classroom, and it just makes me sad, because unless we push ourselves at these times in our life when we're young and malleable and changing, if we don't push ourselves and take on those scary things, we become much more rigid, much more rigid. We all get a little more rigid as we age, but if you start that process when you're in your teens, you know, that rigidity, that fear of change, that fear of challenge, that fear of failure becomes crippling. And so I want to have conversations with people who are making that leap, moving through the dissonance, facing the fears, because I find those people, those conversations, to be incredibly inspiring. Because when someone else is doing it, it starts to speak to that little voice inside of us that says, ooh, am I challenging myself? Am I, you know, avoiding something that could be really spectacular? Or is my safety net, right, my comfort zone, really serving me? And it's not. So my guest today is Chris Bieland. I'm not going to hold it a secret for too long. Singer, songwriter, poet, barista. On his last few days of baristaing here on the Central Coast. And he's packing up his bags. You might have heard, if you're in the musical, know. And the area, he's packing his bags and moving to Bend on the 15th of this month. And so he's someone who has had a lifetime of different adventures and experiences, good, bad, indifferent, tragic, and amazing. and continues to kind of recreate opportunities or his desires. And we need more inspirational people like Chris to help us feel confident to take chances. So I recommend this hour to anyone, especially those who have young people, teenagers, 20-somethings, who are kind of stalled out a little bit or feeling like they can't keep up or feeling concerned, because Chris has overcome far more challenges than the average person and done it with grace and humility and with ongoing belief in himself. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we will have this conversation that I don't want anyone to miss. I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. You're welcome to be part of the conversation by giving us a call at 805-781-3875 if you have good wishes for our friend Chris, or you want to make a request because he is here with his guitar, although that might throw him off, but we'll see. You can send me an email after the show to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com. Find me on Facebook and on Instagram if you'd like to leave a message. You can always listen to previous shows at kcbx.org and go through our archives. I think there's 12 years of archives. Or if you'd like to stay a little more current, you can podcast our show wherever it is you podcast. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR Podcasts. Just search for A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. Hit subscribe, leave a review if you don't mind. And the shows will be posted every week to listen at your convenience or to share with friends, especially one like today with Chris Beelen. So I'm going to catch my breath and we'll be back to start this conversation right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Another sun is sinking fast. Seems the world moves on the same. We're looking for a hand to hold here inside this waiting. And all the pictures on the wall reminded of a time and place. When I go down, will you break my fall? One for all the good old days. One for all the good old days. It's a long way. A long way to home. Either way, this train's leaving, and everyone must die alone. And everyone must die alone.
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and that was Chris Beelen from his latest album, The Waiting, and the song title, The Waiting. And I want to read a little bit about you, some praise that you received from Santa Barbara Records, because it's so beautiful about this. A troubadour in the tradition of Bob Dylan, Jackson Brown, and Neil Young, singer-songwriter Chris Beelen has weathered teen pregnancy, homelessness, and finding his biological father at the age of 32. Love, grief, music, and faith are elements that have always been part of Beelen's life, which is why when a friend offered Beelen a gig playing for folks in hospice, he was happy to oblige. That experience of playing songs for people living out their last days on earth inspired Beelen's latest EP, The Waiting, a gorgeous, earnest reflection of the singer's innermost world, colored with his experiences of love and loss. How's that feel to hear that kind of praise?
I feel honored that someone could write my life story in such a way, you know?
Yes.
Because I couldn't do it. I remember trying to write my own bio before, and I'd get stuck on the second sentence. I'm like, I don't know what to say about myself, you know? But yeah. Yeah, it does sum it up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. So The Waiting, mm-hmm. That was the song we were listening to. When you hear the song, do you... When you start to write a song, do you hear the melody and the story or just the words? What comes along first?
With this, the last song that played, it was more of an impression. Mm-hmm. I met with a patient I was playing music for on hospice, and I was saying goodbye to her. And then when I said goodbye, I was like, is there anything else I can get you? And she said, no, dear. All you can do is just be here in the waiting game. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that sounds like a good song title. And she said, well, why don't you go home and write it? And so I went home and I wrote it. So it was kind of like, I had that idea. And then, but other times it's the melody that takes it first, you know?
Mm-hmm. So here we are. You're getting ready to pack up and go. What inspired this change, this move? Because you've been really building your musical presence here on the Central Coast and down, you know, in other areas for a while now, for a few years. Why, what for me, feels like a sudden change of plans?
I think it was just like the boiling point. Hmm. You know, I just going through a divorce and just the heartache of that, and then, but then healing on my own, and then finding love again, and then just trying to make sense with all of the same scenery, and then I just, one day I was having my lunch break, and I just, it was like one of those just moment decisions where I'm like, you know what if you just quit your job and you move up to Oregon? Like, there's nothing stopping you. And I think we had a conversation similar to doing that. Mm-hmm. And so I just, like, on my lunch break, I texted my landlady and put in my notice. And then I put in my notice with my work at Mule Bakery, and all in the same lunch break. And and once I got the ball rolling, I was like, it's too late. We gotta do this. And then, yeah, now it's, you know, coming up in a week. So.
And how are you feeling about this transition?
I feel really good about it. Like, I'm waking up feeling hopeful, and I don't know, might sound crazy, I just feel pregnant with songs. Like, just so many ideas are coming, and like, I just I don't know what, I don't really have anything lined up as far as work or a place to live. I'm selling my truck and I'm just getting a U-Haul, and I have a friend of mine who's going to let me house sit for the month of December.
Which is 15 days after you get there.
Yeah, it's true. Well, we'll figure that part out when mm-hmm. we get there. And
that's why they invented campgrounds.
Yeah, true. So, yeah, that's what's happening. And it doesn't really, like, worry me. I'm like, the worst that can happen, I go to there in my mind. I'm mm-hmm. just like, I can come back home. I have all the security and family and friends and work, music, and all of that stuff, you know. But I just need a change of scenery, and I feel that shaking in my heart. You know, it's like, you got to go and do it. Mm-hmm. So.
And you're not going alone.
No. So, and my girlfriend Carol, she quit her job as a cook at Marion Hospital. And because I was like, I'm quitting my job, I'm going to Oregon. You don't have to do this, but if you want to go with me, that would be amazing. And she did. And I don't know, we just have this chemistry, and I'm really excited to see what happens with us. She's never seen the snow before.
And why Bend? I mean, I know you spent some time in Oregon in your previous lives. Why Bend?
I used to live there. I was a dialysis technician for about 8 years. Have some old friends, old bandmates. The girl I'm staying at for the month of December, she's going back to New Zealand, and we've been writing songs together for a long time. My recipient, I donated a kidney to a lady, and she lives in Bend. I don't know, just a lot of home feelings there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like calling out to you.
Right.
Because I wonder, and we've never really talked about, but the first time you moved to Bend, was it a opportunity for a do-over then as well?
It was. yeah, it was a different chapter of my life then. My kids were little, and I was already working. I was a dialysis technician, and I just transferred to another clinic, and then I ended up going to school to be a nurse, and then that's when I got back into also working at the coffee shop, and I was working like 3 jobs, and it was a different season.
For sure.
So, yeah, I think I'll be able to appreciate the beauty a little bit more now.
Because you won't just be busting along trying to stay alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Or stay above water. Uh-huh. And so what about, the kids are mostly all grown now. How many children have you raised, my friend?
4. Yes.
So where is everybody?
My oldest, he is living in Missouri, Springfield.
And he's the reason you're a grandpa.
Yes, I have 3 grandchildren. And then my second oldest lives in Portland, and he fixes espresso machines. He's really stoked I'm going to
Oregon. I bet. You're coming his direction.
Yeah.
Right?
And then my third, and my daughter and my youngest son, they live here in this area. And they're really equally happy and sad. We went out for pizza last night, and they're happy for me, but then there was tears shed. And it's going to be really hard because they're just used to me being around all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, don't worry, guys, I'll still pay for your phone bill.
Let's get the priorities straight.
Yeah, for 1 more month.
No. 1 more month, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's so much written about, you know, change and the challenges and why so many people don't change, or that some people actually run towards change because it means that they get this like fresh, you know, way of looking at themselves. You know, E.E. Cummings said that there are far greater things ahead than those that I leave behind. And then I have another quote, I think his name is Anatole France, that's on my keywords. It said, all change, even those that is most desired, all change, even those that are most desired, come with some sort of pain, because you must die from one life to live another.
Wow. That's really good. Yeah, because I've been feeling like either way, it's going to hurt. It's one of those things in my mind. I'm like, it's going to have to hurt. But it's part of the journey is feeling that, and like you were saying earlier on, just not running from it. So,
leaning in.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I really like the visual of we must die of one life, or we must let one life die in order to have another. And it is that dying off that is scary, because we don't know what's ahead of us. And there's the leap of faith. There's that space, right? That distance between one stable life and another. That's where the all living happens. Hmm. And, you know, adolescence by definition means little death. And it's the little death of your childhood as you, right, awaken to this new life as an adult. And I would imagine Jung would say that there are multiple little death experiences. Midlife is another one. And I think you're right at that cusp of midlife, and right, seeing the end of a marriage and the end of a kind of idea of who you are, and this birth of something new.
Yeah.
And who knows what comes of it.
Yeah, that's the exciting part. It's like, I don't know, I think about all of the good that has come out of me just saying yes to my heart.
Mm.
And even when everyone else thought I was crazy or just didn't make sense. So I'm excited to see where it's going to lead, you know?
Mm-hmm. It's a tricky thing to trust our heart, isn't it? Because we hear that all the time, you know, trust your heart, trust your instincts, trust your gut. But yeah. Are they always right?
Yeah. I guess, is that my heart or my head? I don't know.
Right. And how do we know who's speaking to us? Right? Is it the heart, the head, the gut, or some really bad choice-making voice?
There's probably some mixed in with that, but I don't know. I think there's grace for all of that somehow. Mm. It pans out in the end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if your intentions are good. Like, I'm not going there to try to, like, strike it rich, and I don't know.
You're not running from the law.
Running from the law. So.
If you're just tuning in, this is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett with my guest today, Chris Bieland. And we're kind of talking about his big move to Bend, Oregon. I'm going to pick up stakes, pick up the roots, and go, try something new. Write another story, another chapter. And Chris, you and I, you know, share lots of text experiences, ideas that go back and forth. And I also, you know, we spend time having what I think are kind of our philosophical talks about life. I talk really fast and you talk very metered and intentional. One of the things we talked about this summer was, and it was when you were kind of in the throes of the divorce, it might have been spring even, and you hadn't, you know, met Carol and moved forward, but you're kind of in the throes.
Yeah.
And I was giving you kind of this visual theory that I have, that it's really, you know, women have a much easier time transitioning through their lives because we always know what our purpose is. And we are, you know, the givers of life and usually the keepers of life through death and sickness. It kind of seems to fall on the feminine, on women. And because we birth human beings, we have this solid sense of groundedness, right? Mother Earth, Mother Nature, we know this. But I've always felt that it's more challenging for men because they're birthed, but they are first rejected by their mother when they're young. You know, at some point, mom says, get off the apron strings, right? Go out and do your thing, stop hanging on me. And, you know, research shows actually that young boys need more time with that nurturing mom experience than girls do. They tend to kind of separate more quickly, but boys really need that mom thing. But in our culture, we tend to push the boys out sooner. Hmm. And my theory is that young boys, or boys as they grow into young men and into men, spend the rest of their life kind of searching for that mothering, eternal, nurturing experience in whatever ways they can, whether it's, you know, through their wife or other relationships. But really, they kind of free float like the astronaut in the movie Gravity until the end of their life when they're reconnected to the source, to the universe. And from that conversation that went back and forth, that night you sent me lyrics to a song.
Right. That was so inspiring when you said that to me. That was another one of those times where I had an idea for a song before I sat down with my guitar. And I think I wrote it on my electric guitar, if I remember right. And I just put a capo way really high up on the neck, and all of a sudden the first melody, I was like already thinking about what we talked about. And I think I wrote it that night and sent it over to you before I made any edits. Mm-hmm. So
you're gonna play
for me? I play
it
for you?
Yes, yeah, okay, so anyway. This song, co-written by Chris Bieland and Elizabeth Barrett,
yes,
it's called Womb.
Yeah. Take two. There you go. Bless my soul, I'm connected in the womb, protected. I am kept from pain. I'm free and safe from all the noise. When they cut the cord, I was bleeding. Gasp for air, I was breathing. I was terrified, and my cry is sank into the void. And I've been searching for that place ever since. And I've been trying to find my way back in. And I wanna go home. Just wanna go home. It was cold and dark when I was waking. The universe, it was changing. I was terrified. My cry, it sank into the void. like an astronaut. I was floating in a universe exploring. Oh, I need a place to go and escape from all the noise. And I've been searching for that place ever since. And I've been trying to find my way back in. Said I've been trying to find my way back in. And I wanna go home. Just wanna go home. I wanna go home. Just wanna go.
Is it okay to clap for a song that we worked together? I just love this song. And also the fact that we just through a conversation that we had, that's how your mind processes or processed those thoughts. Have you always done that? You know, have you always been someone who takes conversations and stories them? Does that make sense? Yeah. I don't know if I'm asking that correctly.
No, that's a good... I think I have a... so be careful what you tell me. I'll just turn it into a song. I guess I'm just always fishing for an idea for a song. And whenever I hear something that what you told me was just so mind-blowing. And I was like, I have to put this in a song so I never forget it, you know? Yeah.
So must how you're making sense of the world mm-hmm. through music. Like when you were a kid, you know, I mean, I don't know if I ever asked you when you started being musical. Were you playing the guitar and writing songs when you were young? I mean, you were busy being a dad at 16, 17 years old, but was music a part of your life then?
Yeah, I was 15 when I got married. And I always joke around because I play that song by Eric Clapton, Wonderful Tonight. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That was the first song I learned on guitar. And I'm like, this is how I ended up getting married and had a kid is because of this song.
Because I can play this song.
Yeah.
And the girls love a guy who can play music.
I started out playing drums. My mom bought me a drum set at 13. And I just wanted to be John Bonham.
Really?
That was like my favorite style of drumming. And then my brother ended up... getting me hooked on meth, and I sold my drum set for meth and ended up getting a guitar out of the drug deal. And then I ended up just learning how to play guitar from that. That was only when I was 14.
Yeah, a baby. And were you using the guitar as kind of a musical outlet, or was it just kind of there? Here's the thing. When was the intention of, this music skill I have is kind of a gift that I'm going to hone?
I guess it didn't really hit me until when I was 16, I went to a rehab in San Diego, and it was among like 24 youth from 16 to 18 year olds. And in the morning we had to sing together. And so I was the only one who had an instrument. And so I had to learn all these church songs. And then I was always affirmed by all those people that you have a gift, and you know, church lingo, I guess they say you're anointed or whatever.
That's a big word.
It was a big word. It's a calling and all of these things, and which, yeah. I don't know if I took it to my head too much. There's a lot of pressure on a calling.
That is huge.
Yeah.
And also when you're a teenager, I would think your first instinct is to... rebel against it.
Yeah.
Right? If everyone thinks I'm good at this, I'll show them.
Uh-huh.
I'll go the other direction.
Yeah, that did happen later on. Yeah, it's funny. I don't know when the spark hit, though, when I was like, I'm actually doing this.
Right.
Look at, But it was young. I remember at 16, I was in front of the church. They asked me to play a song, and I didn't have a single original song that wasn't... I didn't really have any, except for a couple punk songs that I wrote. And I just had an acoustic guitar, and I made this song up on the spot. And I closed my eyes, and I just started like singing about my wife at the time. And then when I opened my eyes, I got this like standing ovation. So that felt good. But then they asked me to repeat to play the song, and I didn't know how to play it again.
Or what the words were.
Yeah, I didn't even know what the words were or anything. Yeah.
And so there were moments, like touchstone moments along the way that kept trying to remind you, this is a gift, this is a gift. As much as you kind of moved away or changed your course of life or different things happened, the music continues to find you.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist, and you're listening to my guest, Chris Bielant, singer-songwriter, poet, Renaissance man, man of many talents, many lives. And we're just talking about his big move to Bend, Oregon. We're going to take a break and listen to another song by Chris Bielant, and then come back, open the phone lines, and continue our conversation right here on Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
I was driving home last night, and I thought that crossed my mind, that old photo in black and white, where you were both laughing. And I wonder about that day, what words did I hear you say? Did you take her by the hand and go out dancing? Somewhere in the stars above you, way beyond the blue, you see the red is one true love, and the prettiest girl in the room, the prettiest girl. Left your home, left good friends, you moved to California with your dad, and you tried your best to stay, work long hours with low pay, and you raised some kids, knew you did it the best somehow. Somewhere in the stars above,
I'm Elizabeth Barrett, and this is A Conversation with a Reluctant Therapist. And that was Chris Bielant and his song Way Beyond the Blue, subtitled Prettiest Girl in the Room. Let's talk about that song and kind of how you came to write it and record it and what it's about.
I was getting off of my gig at Libertine Brewery. I used to play there every Thursday for 7 years. And it was around like 10:30 at night. I was driving home. So that's why the song starts off, because I was driving home last night, and the thought that crossed my mind, that old photo in black and white, mm-hmm. where you were both laughing. And I was driving home, and I was just thinking about that picture of my grandparents. Mm-hmm. My dad, when we first met, he's like, you look just like your grandpa, and you act like him, and it's just such a... It blows my mind, and the whole family, And so I always wondered what he would be like, and so I was wondering about that picture, like, why were they laughing in the picture? My grandpa had his shirt off and this towel around him, and my grandma's just like, you can just tell they're just in love, the way she's like looking at him. And so I just wrote that song late at night, got home, and I had the idea, and then it sat for like almost, I guess, 2 years. And I didn't really even like remember it until the record label asked if I had any songs, and I And I sent them that song. And then having my dad sing on it was just really incredible.
And so you can hear him slightly in the background.
Yeah.
Coming in.
Yeah, and so having us sing together and then singing, so it's like a three-generational song, you know.
Mm-hmm. About Grandpa, yeah. With Dad, uh-huh. And you.
Yep.
And for those who might not know how you met your dad, who you know as your father now, you didn't meet till you were 32.
Right.
So that's kind of a magical part of your story as well.
Yeah, I always wonder if I would have known that he existed if I would have even wanted to pick up the guitar, you know?
Interesting.
It was always, when I grew up, it was just my brother who played country music, and I didn't really like country music, so I was like, I found my own niche, you know? But my dad, I know when I was 32 years old, like, when we met for the first time, it felt like a completion. And there wasn't a comparison or anything. It was like I was already writing songs, and he likes my music, which was a plus. And then getting together, I found out that I was like listening to his music the whole entire time.
Right, because he's been a traveling professional musician all of his life.
Right. Yeah, with Ricky Nelson and Linda Ronstadt and all of those guys. So
this song that you wrote and we hear him on, you also had a big experience in Santa Barbara. We're getting to perform with him as well, anyone who was lucky enough to be at that show.
Yeah, that was so incredible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, having a full orchestra behind us.
Mm.
It was a tribute to David Crosby.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did a Birds cover, and then that Way Beyond the Blue. And just looking over at him, he was just like, brimming. I was so happy. Mm. And here we are with like this orchestra behind us and a sold out audience of like 800 people. And I was trying to like stay on tempo with my guitar. I was so nervous a little bit. But it turned out really beautiful.
And how does he feel about your move? Does this put you closer to him or further away?
At first he was worried about me. He's like, oh man, what's happening to you? What are you doing? Then we had a good talk over the phone, and then he changed his mind, and he's like, I'm happy for you, this is what you need to do. And that's where we met for the first time, was up there in Bend, Oregon. So
oh wow,
he loves it up there, so he'll come up and visit me hopefully. And also Bend, Oregon, I mean, Oregon's not as far, it's not that far from California, so I can come down to see him.
Like all those connections still feel like they're there for you.
Right.
Just spreading your wings or revisiting some other stories.
Yes.
My guest is Chris Bieland, and our number is 805-781-3875. I forgot to open the phone lines. If anyone wants to call and wish Chris well or make a song request, something that you love, although I don't know if Chris is ready for that, but we'll try.
I'm ready.
Okay, he's ready. Yeah. This is a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. All right, so what's on your mind? What song is bringing? Because I requested the first one.
All right, this is... This one's about traveling.
Oh, that's apropos.
Yeah.
And it includes a harmonica. And
it has
so
a harmonica.
Actually special.
Right.
Did you know you knew how to play the harmonica when you were young, too?
No, I lived in Santa Maria, my first wife. And my car stereo got stolen out of my truck. And so then I had to drive to work with no stereo, so I would just learn how to play the harmonica. I would drive, like, hands free. Like, people would look at you like, what are you doing? All right, here we go. I haven't recorded this one yet.
Oh, so we're getting first dibs?
Yeah, first dibs.
Okay, what's it called? Do you know?
Meant to Be.
Okay.
Yeah. Wanna drive out to the country, see the sunrise over those cotton fields. To get there, we'll pass through Arizona, and you and I could trade off of the wheat. We'll get there right, and I'll sing my songs with the southern skies that roll along. 'Cause this is how life is meant to be, and this is how life is meant to be, and this is how. And I want you to meet my family. Some of them live down in Memphis, Tennessee. My grandpa built the house my uncle now lives in. Plays the steel guitar at the church right down the street. I'll get there right, I'll sing my songs with the southern skies that roll along. 'Cause this is how life is meant to be, this is how life is meant to be, this is how, this is how.
Yet to be recorded, it's meant to be, by Chris Beeland. Thank you for the world exclusive.
You're welcome.
So when you think about what's meant to be, how do you describe your, I don't know, your experiences or yourself?
When it's meant, I think it's just about jumping off of the of your safety net, your comfort, and experiencing the world. Like, I don't want to retire with a bunch of money in the bank. I want to spend it all now while I'm alive, you know.
And why do you think you have that lens? You know, where do you think that comes from, that let's do this now sort of attitude?
I guess maybe I've felt heartache. I've lost. I've had my world shaken up so much that it just makes me realize that the things that matter are right before me, and that I don't have to wait for anyone's permission, or I don't need to, I don't know, be affirmed by the world. I can just go and do it. And I don't know where it came from, though. I think it's just in me. Maybe it's my ancestors or something cheering me on.
Yeah. Or keeping you safe.
Yeah.
Right? Because you probably learned, I mean, from all the things that you experienced, you know, there was never really a solid ground underneath you that was saying, you're safe here, just relax.
Yeah, that's why you're called a therapist. That's true.
Because these things just come out of my mouth. Like, you roll your eyes.
No, it's true. I wonder if, you know, how much of all the things I went through is because of, like, some childhood safety thing pulled out of my rag. You know, my mom, she did the best she could, but mm-hmm. she got divorced from my stepdad when I was 12, and then there were boyfriends, and I moved to four different times in junior high, and so my world was kind of just went from like just like a typical normal, lived on a cul-de-sac in a nice neighborhood and knew everybody, to like sleeping in some guy's like couch. And so yeah, safety was kind of pulled out of, from underneath me, you know.
Mm-hmm. You're in a cart with shaky wheels.
Yeah.
Pulled along. Don't get too comfortable, because you might have to bail at any second.
Yes.
And I'm curious too, because along, you know, all the trials and tribulations, you also have, you know, had your experience with your religious awakenings and then pullbacks and then awakenings and pullbacks.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, where you are with that.
Yeah, I my oldest son, he's very much like me as far as philosophically, and like how he wrestles with things. And and we were talking about that, like how secure I was with what I believed in when I was young,
mm-hmm.
and I was willing to die for it and to convert as many people as I could to my way of life.
To
and
your
then
faith.
To my faith, and then finding out that the world wasn't really the way the lens I saw it through, you know, is there's other viewpoints and other faiths and other belief systems that I didn't open myself up to, and but I still have this like affinity towards faith. Like I am. Old hymns just come in my head randomly, and I love the way they give me comfort. And but I don't know, there's a lot I still wrestle with, and I don't know, they probably shouldn't let me be a pastor or assign me to a certain position yet, but I don't know, I am very spiritual, but I also feel like if I was one of the disciples, I would understand Thomas the most.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Doubting Thomas.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I get that. Cynical Chris. That doesn't work. Critical Chris.
Yeah.
My guest is Chris Bieland, and our number is 805-781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. If you'd like to say something to Chris or have a question or a request. I'm hoping that you've got another magical number in there before we get to the top of the hour. I'll let you kind of think about that.
Okay. Yeah.
And so when you think of the joyous, the things that just spark you, like you wake up in the morning and go, I can't wait for, what is the answer to that?
Hmm. Wow. I think I just wake up and I'm, as long as I'm healthy, I'm a morning person. I get up, like today I got up at 3:30.
That's not morning, that's the middle of the night. But
and then I took my girlfriend to work at 4, because she works as a cook. And then at 4:30 I was like, I just had all this time. Like I went into like the jacuzzi and like just hung out, and then played my harp for a little while, and then did some exercising and journaling. All before the day starts, you know. And
for most people, for sure.
And then I go open a coffee shop. And so I don't know. I love just the morning hour of just, I feel clear.
Mm-hmm.
I think writing is probably my favorite thing to do in the morning, because it's before the whole world has hit me. I'm able to kind of just let whatever come out on the page.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine, too, there's something peaceful about that time. It's safe, it's quiet, right? You're kind of in a womb,
yeah,
of the nighttime, where you just, it's all you.
Yes.
In that moment.
Yeah, the stars are even clear.
Yeah.
In the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And our thoughts. Our number is 805-781-3875. And Toby, are you there?
I am here.
Hi, Toby. Thanks for giving us a call. What's on your mind?
No, just Chris. I don't know. I was just catching. I was walking my dogs and caught a little bit of his stories. I've heard many of them over the years. Memorable at the cove. Chris with the ocean in the background, and he had made a comment about, you know, the time to move on or something. So those memories are etched in my mind. And then going to try and get up. I don't know if you guys mentioned Club Carbar on November 15th. I think we're going to have hopefully a celebration for Chris to go away and maybe come back someday.
Well, yeah, Chris, so what's coming on?
Thanks, Toby. I was supposed to talk about that.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
Phil.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys go. No. I love you, Chris.
Love you too, brother.
Thank you, Toby. All right, so what's coming up in honor of you?
I'm playing with a full band at Club Carbar on the 15th, 8 o'clock, and my daughter's going to be there, and I'm starting off with an acoustic set with just some percussion, play a lot of my newer songs, and then get like a full electric, full band, the second set, and play some of the old hits, you know, and just go away with a bang, or have everyone there.
And where is Club Carbar for people who don't know?
It's in Templeton.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right downtown. It's on the left-hand side when you're driving into the main strip. It's a really cool venue. They have a good sound system, and
And is there any charge?
No, it's a free.
Show up and enjoy music with Chris.
Yeah.
Saturday night at what time?
At 8 o'clock.
Okay.
Yeah, good
well,
medicine.
I kind of held back on that story a little bit, my friend.
I know. Sorry about that.
805. Thanks, Toby, for reminding Chris what's coming up. 805-781-3875 is our number. And Chuck, you're on the air. What's on your mind today?
Chris, we're going to miss you, but good luck in band. My question is, are you going to miss the ocean? And do you have any songs about the ocean you might want to sing?
Oh, good one. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. Well,
wow. It's funny that everyone asks me in Oregon if I surf. Mm-hmm. And I hit the pier once when I was 15, but I was surfing in Galveston, Texas. But I also I'm not really a strong swimmer, so I don't go out in the ocean, but I play music by the ocean. I've had this residency with this hotel for the past 8 years where I play every Wednesday, Thursday, and they set me up right next to the ocean. And I was born here in Santa Maria, and the ocean is just, it is very comforting, and I'm going to miss it. But there's always visiting, and the river, there's something mystical about a river. Mm. So I'm looking forward to that. I do have songs about the ocean. Put me on the spot now, though. I have a lot of songs about the ocean.
If you've got one close, or I can ask you another question.
Maybe another question. Let me kind of think about it.
While you're thinking about the ocean. Thanks for that, Chuck, because I didn't think about the two people usually say when you leave the Central Coast, you're going to miss the ocean. You know, what are you going to miss about being here? And the sense I always get about you is that you're thinking about where you're going to and what you're going to be creating. You're not, I don't think you're a long goodbye kind of person.
No. Yeah, I think I'm a goodbye person, but I'm not a farewell forever.
Yes. Well, especially because you had this thought and then resigned from your job and your house within the same lunch hour. So I always get the sense of you that you've got this vision of here's where I'm going. Again, that's like a coping mechanism of a really unstable childhood of I can't count on what's here, so I better be moving towards something that will be more sustainable or more safe, right? More grounded.
Yeah.
And so I think that has been a gift for you, that you don't have the fears that most people have of leaving that cushy comfort. You're like, oh no, but there's more things ahead of me. I know that. I see that. Like, no long goodbyes here. That's another song we can write.
Yes. Thank you.
All right, we've got about a minute to go, so we've got a little bit of something.
Okay.
Doesn't even have to be the whole song. You can even freestyle if you'd like.
All right, this will be a...
All right.
Had a dream last night, I saw you there. You came as an old friend. You put your hand on my shoulder to guide me. You led me to the ocean. You led me to the ocean. You led me to the ocean. Oh, 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 oh. And my dream with a lion trapped in a cage. His eyes there was sorrow. Courage, you told me, don't be afraid. There's hope for tomorrow. Hope for tomorrow. There's hope for tomorrow.
That's a beautiful way to close up shop here. If you'd like to spend one more evening hearing Chris's music, you can see him at Club Kabara in Templeton on Saturday night starting at 8 o'clock. The show is free. Come in with your farewell thoughts and good wishes. Chris, I'm going to miss you, but I will be up to see you, or you'll be down to see us, I'm sure, pretty soon.
Yes, I hope so.
I wish you all the best.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
I appreciate your honesty and your willingness to come and talk to me.
It's an honor, always. Thank you.
This has been a conversation with a reluctant therapist. I'm Elizabeth Barrett. You can find me by sending me an email to elizabeth@thereluctanttherapist.com, through Facebook, Instagram, listen to previous shows or this show again at kcbx.org, or you can podcast to listen at your convenience or to share with your friends. As always, I appreciate you tuning in and supporting us and being a part of our community on this beautiful Veterans Day right here, honoring our veterans who've given so much to our country. Thank you for your support and our support to you as well. You're listening to Central Coast Public Radio, KCBX.
Before the sun began to rise, I wished upon a star. You by my side under the light of a love I still believe is true, then let my love bind my heart to you. Am I leading with a healed or a broken? Question I must answer that remains in the dark. What became of yesterday's, or what tomorrow has to say?